idea of Jesus rode a donkey to town. It was a wonderful contrast in the song about Hosanna and then crucify him, that contrast between praising Jesus and then wanting to get rid of him, eliminate him. So on the road to the cross, for Jesus, this incorporates the knowledge that in great humility lies great power. As Philippians 2, 1 through 11 teaches us, the power of humility is important. And he knows that. He is not coming as a triumphant king. Put up a couple of triumphant kings. King Henry VIII on his big steed. Alexander the Great, great conqueror. And obviously they get shown on Alexander the Great had a great war horse who helped terrify his enemy. But that's not Jesus. He's the suffering servant. He comes as one who is going to lay down his life. He's willing to be caught up in the rejoicing power of the crowd who sing, Hosanna, they sing, but they are caught, and while they are caught in a moment of enthusiasm, excitement, that can quickly be dissipated. They go from Hosanna to crucify him. Once things get serious, get very serious, those who hold power can eliminate our Lord Jesus. They can bring his influence to an end. With his execution comes the power to control and maintain position. So they're slapping him and abusing him and they're judging him. And power and control manifests itself in various ways, and it's kind of a diagram of that. When someone is under power and control, that kind of spirit, a demonic spirit, there's isolation, emotional abuse, there's violence of different kinds. And, of course, that's what they do. They crucify this Lord. They think we're going to keep the power. But that's not the truth at all. Not in God's eyes. Because he has the sovereign power. The sovereignty of our God is never set aside because he has willed it that Jesus needs to be the one who lays down his life. From his heavenly perspective, God's sovereignty is not in question. It's not being compromised. Let us pray a moment. Dear God, thank you this morning that we can celebrate that Jesus came to Jerusalem riding a donkey. But also remember that, God, you are truly the one in power. That you have orchestrated this to create a wonderful salvation for us. We praise you for that, Lord. But open up the scriptures to us as we read this story and just enjoy it and celebrate it. And then remember what the word teaches us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 21, 1 through 11, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and then he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while the others cut branches from the trees and spread them out in the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. I've said we're doing this road to the cross through till Easter. Easter's next week. So this will be the final stop on that road. Why did Jesus need to take this road? What was God's purpose for sending him down the road? What did it mean for Jesus to complete the journey to die on the cross? Because the cross is a dramatic ending. But while the road for Jesus Christ stops at the cross where he dies, it's really only the beginning of the story. A little plant growing up from the dirt is the beginning of the story. That is what is happening here. So Jesus rode his donkey into town. I like this picture of him because it's so gentle. It's so non-offending. He's sitting sideways on the donkey. It's kind of an illustration from past years in the church. There's all kinds of illustrations you can find of this. But the donkey, riding it, is about humility, humbling yourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up, as James 4:10 says. And it's about peace. Seek peace and pursue it, says in Proverbs. Seek peace and pursue it. Jesus chose the donkey because he did not come to make war with people. War just ends up killing a lot of people. One of the casualties of war, being taken off a plane. Rather, Jesus came to make peace with God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he has also come to conquer the invisible forces arrayed in enmity against us as human beings. Christ is the victor. He defeats Satan and the forces of evil and the darkness to bring light and hope and life into us as human beings as we place our faith and trust in him. Now, Jesus came to daughter Zion. That's what the prophecy is saying, you know? It's out of Zechariah. He says, daughter Zion, your king will come to you humble or gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a donkey. Jesus comes to his daughter Zion. It's a place and a people God is passionate about. He is coming to Jerusalem where his temple is. These people should be ready for him. But a holy God cannot abide an unholy people. The Old Testament Bible has one purpose: to teach us our need for God. What is wrong with Adam's family? Cain murders Abel in a jealous rage. Lamech kills when he perceives an insult. Like Lamech, you know how it goes when two brothers fight each other, right? One punches you on the arm, the other one will, you know, give you a 5-10 times harder on the leg if he's bigger, you know? So that's Lamech. Lamech gets a wound, and he kills the person who wounded him. There's something wrong with Adam's family. Noah is a sinful man. He's saved through the ark on the flood, but God did not save a saint, per se, but he saved one like us, flawed and imperfect, in need of God's mercy. And so it goes. That's who we are, a people in need of God's mercy. Nehemiah says it right there in the Bible. He describes what's wrong with the people of Israel, who are supposed to be the holy people, living in the Mount Zion, living in Jerusalem, and supposed to be pouring forth God's love, mercy, and peace into the world. They're not doing that. Nehemiah says it here, Nehemiah 1 verse 7. Before he goes to rebuild Jerusalem, he says, we have acted corruptly against you. He says, my parents have, I have, and we've not kept your commandments. We've not kept the statutes nor the ordinances. All those things written to help us thrive and be the people of God, people of mercy and love. And the things which you commanded your servant Moses, we have not done it, Lord. We are sinners. We have done grievous things in the sight of God. Have mercy upon us, Nehemiah says. Have mercy upon us. He is like us, a people in need of mercy. So Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, he came to allow the people to break forth in spontaneous joy. He came. He felt the Spirit. The Spirit of God made them rejoice. Singing Hosanna is the essential truth about who we are as human beings. When they say Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, when we were singing earlier, we sang it so well and the palms were coming forward and we were singing, of course, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It's a beautiful sounding thing to say. the pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang to Jesus, who had blessed them, close folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. Hosanna. We're made to give praise to God. We're born to praise God at every opportunity. Do you do that? That's our question this morning. Do you do that? Do you do it enough? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In spite of impatience, as Annie was saying, in spite of the things which grind our joy away, which drive it away, which darken our lives, which the invisible forces that come in array against us. When the leaders began to criticize this display of the crowd, Jesus said to them, their worship is ordained by God. God has ordained worship from us, from them in Jerusalem. He's called us to praise the Lord, to give him the glory and the honor every time we can. So then, even if it seems it is anathema to the Jewish religion, they're cross and they're angry. They want to put power and control over the people. They don't want them to praise a man, Jesus, that's against their religion. They're supposed to praise God. But that's the prophecy. They're prophetically praising God because Jesus is God. And he says, the crowd are right, Jesus says. They're in the right place. Because even if they do not praise and sing Hosanna to his coming in the name of the Lord, the stones of the earth will cry out in praise. Wow. If you turn to Psalm 89, it will tell you, let everything praise the Lord. With my mouth, I will praise the Lord. My mouth is made to praise the Lord so that we are thankful for the mouths of Irene and Yuko helping us sing this morning, and all of our mouths singing together in unison. We are called to sing to the Lord. We are called to praise him, and the whole earth will praise the Lord. Psalm 96. It's the properly human thing to do. What I'm saying here is this verse, Jesus says, if they keep silent, the stones will shout out praise. That let the heavens rejoice, is Psalm 96. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. I know that's a great song. Let all the trees of the field clap their hands. You ever watched The Lord of the Rings? What happens in one of the battles? They're losing, and then the trees come to rescue them. It's wonderful, animation of the trees. Trees become force for good. Yes, and the trees will clap their hands. The stones will cry out. To be properly human, this is what Jesus has come to do, to make us as human as we possibly can be. And we are to do that by being people who testify to the Lord, by being people who give honor and praise to him, who testify that God is my God, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You see, we are living, breathing human beings. Our privilege is to breathe this oxygenated air and speak and express to each other our thoughts and feelings, our ideas and thoughts. Means of communication. There's all kinds of them, right? We have emails, pigeons, letters, SMS calls, and even more. The communication fills the airwaves, you know. That's what smartphones are really all about communication. Talking, singing, recording, getting on the phone and talking to someone far away. I talk to my father on my phone every week. And he's in Michigan. And you know how far Michigan is from us. It's in the middle of the United States, so it's far on the other side of the world. Clear as a bell. Sounds like he's right in the room. So here we are, these communicating people. We have given breath mostly not just to talk, not just for chatter, but to praise the Lord. Into this fray of human reality, Jesus came, the Emmanuel, God with us. He was born to be with us, to talk with us, to teach and to share. And I'm sure he sang, because when they left the upper room where they had the Last Supper, they're going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. they're going out to the garden. They sing a psalm. They sing one of David's psalms. I don't know which they sang. Never says. The Bible never says, but they sang. Now, even though Jerusalem is the city of God, it's supposed to be the holy city. Jesus is weeping over it here. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because though it ought to have been the best, where there was the best human thought and behavior, this city, Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion, was full of sin, hypocrisy, jealousy, power and control issues, and demonic infestations. It was bad. It was very bad. And God does one day judge it, and he purifies Jerusalem. It's burned to the ground. The Romans destroy it completely within 100 years of Jesus' day, and they pour salt on it. The judgment came, but in the place where he should have been fully welcomed, Jesus came to be able to suffer and die, to offer his life. Where he should have been fully welcomed, he was shunned. He was falsely accused. He was beaten and abused. He was then dragged out to Calvary to die an ignominious and shameful death on the cross. But Jesus knew that he must fully comply with the Father's will. That his purpose on coming to earth was to take on this awesome task. He subjected himself to the follies of human design. And one way I look at the story of the Passion Week, and it's kind of a divine comedy. It is. Truly, it's a divine comedy show. Pilate is washing his hands, saying, I'm innocent of this man. I've done nothing, you know, and he has power to let him go. But he doesn't. I'm just washing my hands. I'm not part of these people's sinful behavior. You know, it's not me. And then Herod has Jesus in front of him, and he's seeking some kind of self-affirmation. Herod wants Jesus to affirm him, and Jesus doesn't. He doesn't play the game. And Herod just sends him back to Pilate and doesn't help him at all. And the chief priests are putting on a show trial full of false accusations, saying to him, you're a blasphemer. Are you really the Son of God? You know, and it's a divine comedy. It's a divine tragedy, both at the same time. Human behavior is folly, foolish, really is, you know, it's pathetic, really, in a way. But Jesus does all this in order to exalt God's purposes. Jesus was willing to undergo the entire shameful and disgraceful human procedure to accomplish the ultimate goal of bringing redemption to us and our world. He says, not my will, but yours be done, O God. He comes to offer his life, the goal of bringing redemption to us and to our world. So, in order to declare his purpose, not to make war on human beings, but to come humble, to come in the strength of God, he chose to ride on the lowly animal. He chose to ride on the donkey. He entered Jerusalem this way, not in great joy, but so bittersweet. People are singing Hosanna, but Jesus knows there's a painful ending. It's bitter sweet. He knows how bitter it will become, but he did not come to conquer. You know, whenever I think about these horses, and they're great to see because they represent strength. I've loved to read about the Civil War. The Yankees against the rebels in the South, the Union Army against the Confederates. And those battles that they fought, very often were the difference made was by the cavalry. Cavalry would run in with their horses and they would turn the tide of battle. As I was showing you, this is one of the great war horses with Alexander the Great, and Alexander's war horse. So that cavalry was, again, a major difference. Great leaders, war leaders are on horses. One of the most fearsome invading armies was the Mongol army, you know, with Attila the Hun. They were racing across the plains on horses. They were great warriors on horseback. They could go full gallop and they could fire their arrows and they'd shoot and kill. But that's not what Jesus did. He didn't come riding on a war horse. No, he rode his donkey into town. Jesus just rode his donkey into town. And he was born to set men free, to set us free from our sin, to set us free from Satan, to set us free from death. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus rode his donkey into town. And thank you, Lord, that he knew that in humility was great power, that he humbled himself, willing to die on the cross, willing to let that take its course, the sinfulness and rebellion of human race, saying we can just eliminate God, we can get God out of the picture, and we can't. God is the reason there's life. God is the reason we have breath. God is the reason we're here. And God's redemptive purpose was fully accomplished in Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. We want to give you all glory, loud, and honor. Amen. Let's sing.